This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
James Carroll is a winner of the National Book Award, a best-selling author, and a former Catholic priest. His website is jamescarroll.net. I am honored to welcome to this program James Carroll. His new book is Practicing Catholic. James, welcome to the program. If we can, let's start with just the story of your personal spiritual journey.
I was defined in very important ways in American life by figures like President Kennedy, Martin Luther King Jr., a mentor of mine, William Sloan Coffin Jr. But I'll tell you that the figure who touched me the most when I was a senior in high school, because my dad was a senior American military official in Europe, our family was privileged to have a private audience with Pope John the 23rd, who maybe not well remembered by people today, but he was the peasant pope who turned the Catholic Church upside down. He was pope for only a few years, but he summoned the reforming Second Vatican Council. Well, before that happened, in my senior year, I was privileged to be in his private library with my mom and dad and my brothers, and the Pope put his arms on my shoulders. I was considerably taller than he was. He pulled me down to him, and he brushed his cheek against my cheek so that he could whisper in my ear. He said something to me. The truth is, I don't know what he said. It could have been Latin. It could have been Italian. But it didn't matter. I felt addressed in some way by God at that moment. That's who the Pope was to us Irish Catholics at that point in history. And the truth is that that moment stayed with me. Not so long after that, I entered the seminary. I became a Catholic priest. But I remain a Catholic exactly in the mold of Pope John the 23rd, the liberal reforming pope who changed the church more than any pope in its history. And I'm still a Catholic who advocates for the changes that began in that period, even while, frankly, contemporary bishops and popes have been rolling some of those changes back. So that's my story. It's been a privilege to have this experience, and I'm still trying to be worthy of it.
We're talking with best-selling author James Carroll. His new book is Practicing Catholic. What do you think it is most people don't know or understand about the priesthood?
Well, let me just say my own experience of the priesthood was such an incredibly deep privilege to be brought intimately into the lives of human beings in the way that a priest is, to be entrusted with secrets, to be seeing people at moments of need and happiness and celebration as well as grief. The priest functions in an incredibly important way for Catholics, which of course is part of why the betrayal of the priestly sex abuse scandal in recent years has been so unbelievably traumatic. But the single largest fact about the Catholic priesthood today is, tragically enough, it's in collapse. Very few young men are going into the priesthood. The older men who remain in the priesthood are overworked, stressed, having to do ministry at numerous parishes often. The tragedy of Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict is they're presiding over the collapse of the priesthood rather than reforming it in the way that it desperately needs to be reformed. Women should be ordained to the priesthood as a matter of social justice. Married people should be admitted to the priesthood. And the authoritarian structure of the priesthood should be reformed. So I would say while we Catholics are deeply indebted and grateful to our priests, we're also looking forward in the not-too-distant future to significant reforms in the ways the priesthood is organized.
We're talking with best-selling author James Carroll. The new book is Practicing Catholic. If those changes are not made and the conservatives within the church hold the day, what does this collapse of the priesthood mean, then, for the church itself?
Well, the church could become fundamentalist. You know, the Catholic Church is traditionally not a fundamentalist denomination. It has been firmly committed to the idea of the faith as rational and always to be criticized by intellect. The Catholic Church has celebrated, produced some of the great intellects in Western civilization, and that tradition is at risk. Pope Benedict himself is an intellectual and a highly astute person, but he's presiding over a resurgence of Catholic fundamentalism. The sad truth is that most religions today are in danger of becoming increasingly fundamentalist. We've seen it clearly in Islam. We see it in Israel among Jewish fundamentalists who are making claims to the West Bank in the name of God. We certainly see it in Christians. The Christian, so-called Christian right in American politics over the last couple of decades has been a resurgence of fundamentalism. I tell you, the Catholic Church needs to be reformed, renewed, critical, and rational. It's not just a matter of Catholics having a stake in this, but the whole human future has a stake in this. There are more than a billion Catholics around the world.
Wow.
We can't have this tradition, which has been traditionally unfundamentalist, become fundamentalist. And that's what's at stake in the argument that the Church is having with itself today. And despite the broad impression that people might have, the Catholic Church is fully alive to modern ideas, contemporary sensibility, democratic pluralism, for example, the obligation to be self-critical, and the commitment to change. But that's mostly alive at the level of the laity. Lay Catholics have moved on. The Catholic hierarchy is lagging behind. Lay Catholics have embraced democratic principles without the old orthodoxy handcuffing them. Listen, Scranton, Pennsylvania, a traditional conservative Catholic community, went strongly for Barack Obama in the last election, even though Catholic bishops were ambivalent, to say the least, about Barack Obama. We've seen a controversy about Notre Dame University offering an honorary degree to Barack Obama. Well, the point is, Notre Dame is doing it. The Catholic Church is alive. There's a liberal current running very strongly in the Catholic Church, despite the impressions that people might get from the very conservative hierarchy.
Yeah. We're talking with best-selling author James Carroll. His new book is Practicing Catholic. Along those same lines, explain to us how you sort of navigate those waters between the neo-atheists and the sort of the new atheism on one hand, which sounds a lot like the old atheism as far as I'm concerned, and these conservative fundamentalist right-wing Catholics on the other.
Well, I stand in the middle of that. I would say that so-called neo-atheists are doing a real service by calling religion on its inhuman aspects and characteristics, superstition, intolerance, sponsorship of violence even. I welcome the criticisms coming from the neo-atheists. Where I disagree with them is they don't believe that mainstream religion, certainly a church like the Catholic Church, is actually capable of change, is actually capable of accommodating post-Enlightenment principles like democratic liberalism. So neo-atheists have given up on mainstream religion. What they have in common in that way is, they have in common in that way assumptions about the inability of the church to change, ironically enough, with the conservative establishment of the church. Pope Benedict and Christopher Hitchens both agree that the Catholic Church should not, cannot change. I stand between them. I say, no, the Catholic Church actually has been changing since the day it was born, if you want. Its change is built into the human condition. Every institution changes. Even an institution that claims not to be changing, which has been in recent years the Catholic Church. So, you know, the truth is it's a somewhat difficult position to be in. We know that mainstream liberal religions, denominations like Catholicism, the mainstream Protestant churches, are in decline. The churches that are growing are evangelical fundamentalist churches. I myself feel that it's urgently important that liberal, liberal post-Enlightenment religious impulses be advanced, be allowed to thrive, be encouraged to succeed. And that's why I've written this book, Practicing Catholic. It's why I am a Catholic, and it's also why I'm kind of realistic. This is a very grave struggle we're in. It's a struggle about the future of the human project.
Are you alarmed by the increase in numbers among fundamentalists? And as you point out, around the world, it's not just fundamentalists.
In every tradition. And it's not hard to understand. Fundamentalism thrives whenever there are massive cultural changes, so when there's a kind of earthquake in the structures of order. And look at what's going on in the world. I mean, the world economy is in collapse. Post 9/11, the United States of America suffered a terrible trauma. The whole question of what it means to be a human being today is up for grabs in some important ways. And at a time like this, fundamentalism, with its easy answers, it can be very, very appealing. I understand that. It's a false set of easy answers, I would argue. And I think that people need desperately to maintain a tradition of critical thought when they enter church or a temple or a place of worship. The faith must be submitted to the test of reason. Otherwise, you wind up with superstition, you wind up with intolerance, and you wind up ultimately with violence. That's what's at stake here. Listen, we're in the United States of America, where we have recently been through a presidential administration that was imbued with fundamentalist Christian attitudes. President Bush declared a crusade in the war on terrorism. It was a terribly misguided foreign policy based on a very narrow notion of what religion is. And that was a small signal of what's at stake here. Religion needs to be criticized, and ideally it needs to be criticized from within. And that's a tradition that I myself, as a Catholic, am a firm part of.
Well, talking from Charlottesville, I can tell you, I think Thomas Jefferson would have been very proud of the words you just the words you just said.
Jefferson is a prophet and a hero of the American nation for good reasons, and he was skeptical, rightly skeptical, of any joining of state power to religious zealotry. And thank God for Thomas Jefferson. The separation of church and state, of which he was an important architect, is the most precious public legacy that our nation has. Because what that does is it protects the freedom of conscience for every citizen. And I would argue that it's in that context that religion thrives, which is why the United States of America is a place where religion is vital and vibrant. Thomas Jefferson epitomizes the American genius. And it's a fragile structure that was erected by the founding fathers and mothers of this country. We've seen in recent years that it can be dismantled. So we have to be faithful to it. We have to protect it. And above all, the most important element of that structure is the separation of church and state. The coercion of the magistrate must never intrude on the autonomous conscience of the citizen.
We're talking with best-selling author James Carroll. His new book is Practicing Catholic. Before we let you go, you mentioned Pope Benedict. Now, he recently went to Africa and denounced the use of condoms. Not exactly the most progressive-minded pope that we have seen. What were your thoughts about?
Well, you know, it's important. It's important to note that fact. That, in a nutshell, shows the problem with an abstract commitment to dogma without regard to its real consequence in the lives of human beings. The church condemnation of so-called artificial contraception is so dominant as a dogma that Pope Benedict would not even leave the question alone when he went to Africa, where condom use has been shown to be the single most effective tool of prevention of the spread of HIV and AIDS. And for him to have said not only that the church condemns condoms, but also the flat wrong statement that he made, that condom use makes people more vulnerable to HIV, was breathtakingly callous. But it's also important that the Pope was called on it by Catholics as well as other people. We're not living in the old days when a Pope could speak and be unchallenged. And Catholic peoples around the world have decided for themselves on matters of conscience, like the question of birth control. And the fact that the overwhelming majority of Catholic people dissent from the teaching of the Pope and the bishops on this question is a small signal of the vitality of this tradition at the grassroots level. The Church is not the Pope and the hierarchy alone. It's the Catholic people.
James Carroll, best-selling author and winner of the National Book Award. His new book is Practicing Catholic, a fascinating account, and very much enjoyed talking with you this afternoon, James. Thanks so much for joining us.
My privilege, Coy. I wish you well.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.